Everything's running smoothly.
Yo, 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 what is going on? My name's Hartzell. Happy Thursday! So I had not even planned on releasing audio today. I was just cutting some stuff for tomorrow's show. But you have one of those moments where the interviews are going really, really well, and you're just hanging out with friends. Yeah, that's kind of what happened today. So we made segments into full shows today, and we're going to be chatting with some friends. The Coterie Theater, stopping by on your KC Morning Show. We have Hollis, my man R.H. Wilhoitz, followed by Jeff Church. He's the producing artistic director at the Coterie Theater. They are putting on a show as we speak, Electric Poe, that is running at Union Cemetery. Yes, you heard that right. Details are at coterietheater.org. And then after all that's done, we're going to wrap it up with a sports thing. Carter Augustine, sporting KC's very own Carter Augustine, joining us. I hope you dig it. Like I said, this is one of those days where a few minutes turned into a few hours, and I said, you know what? We might have something special here. Hanging out with some KC friends, doing some KC things. I love that. My name is Hartzell. Back in your feeds tomorrow. Full show tomorrow. Conditions ideal. We'll see you in the morning. It's your KC Morning Show.
It's a pleasure to be here, man. Thank you so much for having me.
I got
to
ask, did you also have a bit of a concerning obsession with Edgar Allan Poe? I don't know, right around middle school age?
Absolutely, man. I was definitely that guy that after I finished up my work in English class, I was actually opening up my book of Poe poetry. You know, everybody knows or is at least familiar with his prose, which is amazing. You know, that's some of the stuff we're doing last night, Mask of the Red Death and Premature Burial. But I was obsessed with his poetry. My favorite poem still to this day is Annabelle Lee.
We're the same people. 'Twas many and many a year ago in the kingdom by the sea.
A love that was more than a love, man.
Oh my God. See, we just did become best friends. Now, how nice is it now to say I told you so to everybody else who said, ooh, we might need to put Hollis on a list. No, guess what? You're a star of this co-production with the Coterie and Union Cemetery. It's Electric Poe. It's got to be nice to say I told you so, right?
Oh, for sure. And I mean, also just a privilege in order to, say his words out loud. I think a lot of people think that Edgar Allan Poe's work belongs on a shelf. And certainly there's even some theater, some plays that just belong on a shelf just for literary value and maybe should never even be performed while still beautiful. But there's something so action-oriented. There's something so performable about Edgar Allan Poe's piece, and it's heartening to know that more people are realizing that and that people are responding to his literature as theater. So yeah, no, it's a privilege. And yeah, maybe a little bit of an I told you so element in there.
In the middle of a pandemic, y'all are doing the Mask of the Red Death, which I think is just mwah, chef kisses all over that. But we also get the Premature Burial. This is so wild. We watched the show in the cemetery. What is that like to perform?
Well, to perform two pieces that revolve primarily around death while being surrounded by tens of thousands of people that have passed is certainly interesting and very poignant. I'd be lying if I said it wasn't a little creepy, but also there's something very, there's a very respectful vibe going on. Coming from the Union Cemetery Historical Society and also from our end as well. So we're definitely remaining respectful while also really taking in our given circumstances. You know, it's so cool that the audience gets to see all the lights and the design elements of the show where you're facing, but I'm facing the other side of the cemetery and watching the sunset hit the cemetery so beautifully. So I love performing there, man. I love outdoor theater in general.
And you do such cool things with these performances, you know, like in the Premature Burial, it's very, I think I saw the pitch note at this in their article, but it's very TED Talk-y. It's a really cool thing that you guys have done. What's some of the more inventive things that even you have said, whoa, that was dope?
So it's interesting that you mentioned the TED Talk element because Mask of the Red Death got the brunt of the work in the beginning of our rehearsal process. And we were always trying to figure out Premature Burial and where it lived in this performance, in this night of Poe. And once we realized it was kind of like a TED Talk, that took a little bit of the weight out of some of the antiquated language. Once we realized that this guy was nervous beyond any reasonable doubt, and maybe should be the last person to be giving a TED Talk, it opened up the doors. The floodgates were open.
I would even say that you made the character, just by doing that, almost more sympathetic. It resonated more. I don't know. It went from being I'm in a cemetery haunted to I'm actually in this man's brain that is haunted, if that makes any sense whatsoever. And I thought it worked beautifully.
Oh, man, that makes me so happy because I feel so much for this character. You know, he's a man that has been shunned by scientists and doctors who can't solve the problem of people being buried alive, even though the evidence is right there in front of him. This desperation behind his lecture that I'm so glad you connected to.
So obviously, you know, we got the elephant in the room. We got COVID-19 that has affected all of us. It has affected your world probably more than most. How have you adjusted? How have you done, man, through all of this? And not just you personally, but, you know, the Coterie as well.
Something that I will commend the Coterie for is its total transparency in their plan for reopening theater. From the very beginning, both in private conversations and public conversations, whether that was through Facebook posts or Twitter or whatnot, they were always very clear about their plan to keep everybody safe. Selfishly, they were very transparent about keeping me safe. But more importantly, on my end, I was more concerned about how the audience would feel. And because of their transparency, you know, we've had nothing but wonderful personal testimonies from audience members that said that they did feel very safe. Our house managers are keeping everything in line in a wild way. In terms of how I feel performing during a pandemic, it's complicated. I won't lie. I long for the day that I get to perform with my friends. There's nothing like, you know, throwing some dialogue to, you know, in most cases, a very dear friend of yours or at least a respected performer. But in this case, you know, I get to pretty much perform with Scott Hobart, or Rex, as he's known in the music industry. He ends up being my scene partner. So I kind of get to fill that void that we've all felt these past 6-7 months. And it ends up being this dance of dialogue of sorts between either the confidant in Premature Burial or Prince Prospero in Mask of the Red Death and this guitarist who ends up materializing at the Red Death.
I'm so happy you brought up Rex. His guitar in the background was just, it's such a great touch. We've all seen the scary movies. You know, we've always got this, we've almost got this internal soundtrack in our head already built in. And Rex kind of Rex played it for us, and it just added so much to it as we have an actual, you know, crypt in the background.
Isn't he incredible? There are moments throughout this show where, you know, you get so into the vibe of the show. You're into the vibe of Poe. You're into the vibe of Union Cemetery. And sometimes what he is doing on his guitar, like, is this in my mind? Is this creeping paranoia in my mind creating sound? Or is it just his amazing, amazing ethereal guitar playing? It reminds me so much of, you know, Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross's scores for those David Fincher movies.
I leaned over to my girlfriend, said, "This feels like Nine Inch Nails." That my exact words as we were on the lawn.
Oh, I'm so glad you felt that.
Again, we're talking to Hollis. R.H. Wilhoit, he is starring in Electric Poe. You can see that from now until October 31st. Go to CoterieTheater.org. But before I let you go, Hollis, I got to ask you. Last night, you were giving out a text code, ways that we can help support the Coterie. I want to do that. I want our KC Morning Hoes, as we call them. I want everyone to donate if you can. So tell me about that. Give me all the info you got.
So what it is it's a Save the Coterie campaign. So if you text the word stage to the number 74121, you'll get a link back in a text, and you can donate whatever you'd like to Save the Coterie. The Coterie is doing so much in order to, first of all, bring back theater, and also to teach kids. We're teaching these virtual classroom immersions. I'm teaching one on Poe and this performance in general. So yeah, if you text stage to 74121, you'll get all the information you need.
Hollis, just thank you for being here. Thank you so much. And we became best friends over this conversation. You worked at a family video just like I did. What the hell?
I know. It's a heck of a 20 minutes.
But what a Kansas City story, right? That is just one of the many things that makes this place so, so special, including y'all. The Coterie, another example of what makes this place so, so special. So Hollis, thank you, brother. Thank you so much. And I cannot wait to come and see this show again soon. I'm going to go see it again.
Right on. Well, you take care and be safe, man.
Going straight to one place, right to Kansas City.
The KC Morning Show.
Jeff Church, my brother, I miss you. Oh, I miss you so much. Jeff is the producing artistic director at the Coterie Theater. Jeff, you've done it again, my friend. Thank you for doing this.
Great to be with you, Hartzell.
How did this happen? We're doing a show in a cemetery. You find a way again to top yourself.
Inventions driven by the pandemic, of course. But, you know, it started to make more and more sense to me and to my staff to take a play that we had done before, which is a one-person, one-musician show called Telltale Electric Poe, and switch it up with different stories. And I also knew that Hollis was magnificent, classically trained. And our technical director, Scott Hobart, has another life as a musician, and he goes by Rex Hobart, and in fact plays often at the ship right next to where you are right now.
Yes, yes.
And pairing those two together has just been kind of the perfect fit, in the cemetery being, you know, the perfect triad of two artists and the perfect setting.
There are so many parallels here that I don't even know where to start. We got a show about a pandemic and an actual pandemic while we're watching it in a cemetery.
That's right. The cemetery even was built because of a pandemic here in Kansas City, a cholera pandemic. And they ran out of space in Kansas and Missouri. So they built a union cemetery to put those bodies. So you, when you come to see the play, you're sitting on top of plots, and you're buying a plot for you to sit on for that, for the night. But yes, there's a lot of layers there.
How did that partnership come to be? You've made it work in a way that I think is about as good as it can get, to be honest with you. I went last night, Jeff, and I think you guys have done this about as perfect as possible. How did this connection happen?
Well, thank you. COVID safety from the start to the exit was our number one goal. And I believe that the Union Hill Cemetery Society trusted us because that the president of that organization has theatrical imagination, because he was a theater artist back in the day, and has and his name is Kevin Fuel. His son is an actor, and Kevin was once Pa Ingalls for us years and years ago in our Little House series. But he knew us, and he said he'd always wanted to do a partnership with the Coterie in some kind of an outdoor play setting. He had created some theater out there before where you walk through the tombstones and you have an actor placed by the tombstone telling the history of that person's life. We, of course, wanted to have people seated against the most atmospheric part of the cemetery we could find. And luckily, there's kind of a little amphitheater in front of what's called the holding vault, where the bodies would be stored until the ground would get soft enough that they could dig a hole to put the bodies in. So there was this vault that looks very cool. And they allow us to go inside of it and use it as our set.
Jeff, you've been doing this for so long, and you're such a staple in this community, in this city. I know you're not going to brag on yourself, so I'll do it for you. I think of that first run of The Wiz, you know, being a part of that was one of those moments where I can honestly say, you know, it changed my life. The Coterie Theater is such an institution in this town, but also you feed off of each other. Am I on the right track there, or am I overstating?
You know, I took this job. I was at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. for 8 years, and you know, I just felt like I wanted to be able to shape and oversee, you know, a whole season and not just freelance. And so I took this job 30 years ago. And honestly, the staff and the city have always been kind of the creative muse. And, you know, the very fact that people are friendly enough and trusting enough to allow a partnership to happen on, you know, a beautiful cemetery, for example, is just testament to having an idea and being able to run with it, which you can do in Kansas City. Here, because the Coterie's, we're a mid-sized arts organization, we can still be pretty nimble. And luckily, that has probably saved us through the COVID. is being facile.
I just got off the phone with Hollis. You know, we were saying how, you know, the pandemic has affected the theater life so much. It's really upended everything. The Coterie, no exception. How is the Coterie adapting to all this, whatever we're calling it, the new normal or whatever, I guess?
Well, you know, this is not a good time for theater. That is for sure. Yeah. And it's maybe even a worse time to be a theater that is built on around school field trips during the weekdays. That's what, besides our weekend performances for the public, weekdays are usually filled with 90,000 students seeing plays at the Coterie over a course of a year in our little space in Crown Center. That is not happening. And you know from being in The Wiz years ago, you know, our lifeblood is performing for kids. So what did we do? Well, we came up with the outdoor production. I believe that we're going to invite Mesner Puppet Theater in to do a holiday show. But the nice thing with puppets is, you know, we could record their dialogue, but yet the puppetry is live.
Yeah.
So we can have an all-masked event indoors. So the puppeteers are masked, the audience is masked. It's going to be safer than a restaurant. But that's kind of a pivot we're thinking of that's close to being able to be announced. And the other thing is we're doing classroom immersions that were for all different grade levels in an arts education, writing inspiration, or reader's theater kind of way where we're delivering a product to schools. And we now have over 54 virtual classroom immersions booked for this semester. So we are still serving our mission. You're going to see more outdoor work from us. Like I said, I think puppetry will be indoors for a little while. And then I think you're going to see some really fun virtual shows. For example, Poe, because it's basically sold out, we're going to put a pay-per-view on-demand version of our show available next week. So if
that's great.
So if you can't get a ticket, you go to our website and you will see that it will be next week, I believe. It will be available on demand.
Are we breaking some news, Jeff?
You are the scoop.
The Coterie in Kansas City, y'all are our folks. How can we help? What can we do to help save our stages?
That's right. So we do have a Save the Coterie campaign going on right now. And, you know, there's a easy click to donate right there on the website, or you can text the word stage to 74121 and get a link to donate. But I will tell you, Hartzell, you're a special talent. When I think back on The Wiz and the production and the people we assembled for that, that was not every play can be as special as that one. So I cherish our time on that.
You're one of the good ones, Jeff.
Thank you, Hartzell. We love what you do.
We'll chat soon.
Greetings, Hartzell. Search the Force. And a tremor I have felt. It was you. Your ego just busted a planet.
The KC Morning Show.
Back by popular demand, in fact, from that virtual sideline, Sporting KC's very own, Carter Augustine.
What's up, my man? Back by popular demand? That's
a lot.
I appreciate that.
I know you've had at least two cameras on you today, at least a few microphones. What you working on, Carter?
Yeah, we've got a bunch going on at old Sporting KC, and today was a busy day, but we'll have some Hispanic Heritage Month content coming down the pipeline that is really cool. I'm looking forward to it. So
no game last week. Colorado caught the COVID. You hate to see it. We wish them nothing but the best. Do we have an update, by the way, for that?
Actually, they had a couple more. There's four positive tests going into the weekend, so they postponed the game. And then earlier this week, Monday or Tuesday, they announced they had seven more.
Ooh.
So I haven't heard anything since then. I know they're scheduled to play Portland this weekend, but I'm curious if that's going to go on. Obviously, wishing the best for everyone. It's tough, right, for the players, because with the team being so close-knit and everyone's sharing a locker room and you're out on the pitch together, I think there's it's a natural fear that, man, this thing's going to snowball. Luckily for Sporting, it never really got past the one, but those fears are realized for Colorado, so it's hoping all the best for them. But yeah, it's a really interesting situation.
You know, I never had this conversation with you, Carter. What was it like in that bubble? Because I'm someone who, you know, I'm a child at heart, you know me. So I thought, yo, we're going to Disney. This is going to be a month just hanging out with the bros at Disney World. And it was not that at all, apparently. So yeah, what was that like, man?
It was interesting. We were in Disney I believe we were supposed to go to a certain hotel until the NBA wanted to go to Orlando as well. And then that hotel, I think, maybe stopped returning MLS's phone calls after that, after the NBA stepped in.
They'll call us back. For now, we get ghosted, but they'll call us back eventually.
Yeah, and you can't blame them. I mean, it's the NBA. So, but the facility we were at, the Swan and the Dolphin, was fantastic. It's a hotel there, two hotels, I should say, a complex down there on the Disney campus. There was a kind of a barricade all around the hotel. So they had people at each post, not allowing anyone in or out. It got a little bit like Groundhog Day because you would... there just wasn't much difference from one day to the next. You'd get up, get tested first thing in the morning, then go eat breakfast, then go train, come back, have lunch, you work all day, and then have dinner, and that's about it. My window actually overlooked the little fake beach area. It was like looking outside all mournfully while all the kids are playing. You know, I was in detention pretty much, and I'm looking outside and all the kids are playing at recess, having fun, doing high fives and playing volleyball and all this.
That's a meme in the making. Why did we not get a picture of you staring out that window, Carter?
That's a missed opportunity. But when we finally got cleared, it was a lot better. We were able to go to the pool at least and have some fun there.
I think that we'll just do this. We will go ahead and bring home that MLS Cup, and then we'll just do it the outright way and say we're going to Disney World because we're the champs.
Oh, wow. I like that idea.
You know what? Let's just cut out this middleman, cut out bubbles, cut out reasons. Let's just win the cup, and when they ask the question, we say we're going to Disney World because that's what you do when you win the MLS Cup.
That's the plan, man. I'm wondering if, you know, in the NBA, if they win it, if they're like, what are you going to do now? I'm going to stay here in Disney World.
Well, let's get to this week. On our way to bringing home that cup, Sporting KC taking on Houston, the Houston Dynamo. Carter, break it down.
That's right. Got Houston again for the, I think, 35th time so far this season, right?
They say 35th's the charm, right?
Yeah, and they've actually had Sporting's number a little bit this year. They're on back-to-back wins against Sporting, so I think that'll be kind of in the back of SKC's mind. Saturday, 7 o'clock on Fox Sports Kansas City, and SKC trying to rebound a little bit. I think they're having Alan Pulido back in the fold. We saw him come on as a sub in the last game, so having him is such a huge difference maker. I think that's the big story for the game. Not sure if he's going to be able to start just yet, but I'm sure Sporting will be hoping that he can, but he's such a big difference maker. So I think that's the big story. The one thing that's cool with me for the Houston matchup is their coach, Tad Ramos. He and Peter Vermees pretty much grew up together. They played together as kids in New Jersey. They wound up being connections for each other to get over to Europe, and they played together in Europe. They played together with the U.S. national team. So a pretty special bond between those two guys, and I like the matchup on the sidelines. But should be a fun one down in Houston. Always a tough place to play. I'm glad it's not August and it won't be a million degrees, but I'm sure it'll still be hot.
I was going to text you this on Tuesday. This is going to be a walk, so let's take a walk.
I'm going to take a walk with you.
Did you catch any of the debate on Tuesday night?
I wound up tuning out for the most part. I've caught the highlights. Well, I guess they're probably not highlights, the lowlights of the debate.
Well, I only say that because, you know, you're someone on the sideline who has to deal with all kinds of personalities in the heat of the moment. We lucked out, you know, PV is a stand-up dude, but, you know, in the heat of the action, you know, you got to still talk to these folks. I know me in that situation, and I'm running in the opposite direction, but you got a job to do. So I'm wondering did you feel for Chris Wallace at all, you know, during any of that situation?
It's a tough comparison because I've never interviewed Donald Trump. So, you know, I don't know if it's going to be exactly apples to apples, but yeah, I do feel
apples to oranges for sure for this one.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Thank you.
The funny ones that have happened to me, I would say, is normal times we try to do an in-game interview with Vermees, so around the 60th minute or so in the second half. And a couple times I've gone to interview him and the other team has scored. And that's just, it's not a great feeling. You're like, okay, the timing here has been pretty terrible. So that's great. I think one thing that helps is that I understand that each game is so different, you know, and I think the players and coaches know that as well. So you can't you can't get hung up on these short-term trends when you could be focusing on the long term. So, and I guess I have a question for you. What's your favorite thing about soccer, and what's something that you don't like about soccer?
Right when you think you got the answers, Carter goes and changes the question. Because I started working at Sporting in 2014, and I was just a casual fan. I just enjoy watching, yeah, like, especially with PV, because everything he does is so strategic. That's what I think I love the most, is just sitting there and surveying the field. Like, I know it's going to sound cliche, but it really is the beautiful game, man. And yeah, it is just something special when you just get a chance to watch it in real time, you know? And I think I enjoy that the most. The thing I think I dislike the most, the cheap answer would be a tie, but I really think there is, as someone who loves professional wrestling, there is something about a draw. There's something beautiful about going the distance and then, you know, both teams, you know, going out like fighters with a share of the point. You know, there's something special there. Honestly, I don't know. I guess maybe the 90-minute thing. Can we go with quarters? I'm a quarter guy. I'll be honest. Let's make it easy. Give me a good fraction to fill in the circle. I'm that. Give me a quarter.
There'll be more Hartzell breaks in between, so, you know, not a bad idea.
Now do you see why I did it?
Exactly.
All right, brother. We're going to talk next week. Let's pencil it in. No, let's Sharpie it in. I'll see you
Sharpie
next
week. Sharpie it in. Let's do it, man.
That was really a productive segment, wasn't it?
The KC Morning Show.